Hey, we're talking with Kirthi Jayakumar today. She's joining us from Chennai, India. We've covered a bunch of issues in the first part of this conversation, but I really want to focus on AI. And let's start with a comment you made during our first segment conversation about data center construction and the government kind of helping corporations that want to turn tracts of land into large data centers. I mean, this is an issue that is playing out exactly the same way here. Government is, to some extent, helping data centers, helping corporations that want to build them. And there's a lot of public pushback. And it's bipartisan across the political spectrum. What does it look like in India?
I would say nothing different. Just recently, we had a whole tract or corridor that was completely cleared out. There are forests that were actually stewarded and held by indigenous communities for generations, but they have been completely cleared out without so much as a conversation with those communities, all for the sake of data centers. This is particularly alarming for two reasons. One, the complete disregard of these communities and their longstanding history. And two, this entire institution of data centers is coming up in an earthquake-prone area. Imagine what the loss of tree cover can do and the kind of devastation and harm that may come from the potential, I don't even want to go there, the potential destruction of trees and tree cover and plant cover. And it's just astounding to me that we want,
And are the data centers being built or proposed to be built all across the country, or is there one particular area where it's a problem?
Well, from the moment, it seems like there are specific regions that are being cleared out, forest cover mainly. But it's not really clear how many more are being planned and where they're being planned for the future. But all of the regions where we're seeing data centers come up are places that were once rich with greenery.
And which corporations are behind them?
Ah, that's a tricky one. So this isn't a very clearly public information, but there's reason to believe that there's the Adani and Ambanis, you know, the billionaires in India that have a hand in the data centers and even just sort of the telecom industry, if you will. But we're also seeing other foreign corporations like Meta and Google also having a presence here. So it's not particularly clear exactly where we might find those data centers owing their allegiance, if that makes sense, or who's going to use those data centers. But this is where we are at the moment.
Yeah. And where, I think in the same place. In the U.S., they are building them all over the place, primarily in rural areas. In Des Moines, we've seen them. I mean, Des Moines is a city of a little over 200,000 people. The Des Moines metro is maybe 700,000. And we've seen outside the largest, most developed areas, quite a few of these data centers going in. And it kind of took people by surprise when people started realizing, okay, what is this all about? And we started looking at the water consumption and the energy consumption. People started coming out in force to oppose them. And so I think what we're seeing here now is it's becoming more and more difficult for politicians to approve data centers, and data center construction is becoming an issue in the upcoming election. And is it that way as well in India?
Oh, big time. There's lots and lots of protests on ground against the mega data center projects. And for the same reasons as well, scarcity in water supply, electricity demands, noise pollution, and of course the displacement that it's causing in residential areas. What we're seeing here at the moment is, I think there's been over the past month, I would say, an active counter to a $15 billion data center that Google wants to set up here in India. And then we're also seeing these protests happen in the south again, in particularly a state called Andhra Pradesh, where there's lots of talks about data centers coming up with the Adani infrastructure, as well as the Raiden Infotech, which is part of Google. And most of these protests are not being talked about enough in the media. There's not enough attention to what they're bringing to the table. And they've actually been calling out these companies by saying, we cannot drink data.
I like that.
So if you're replacing our water, how are we going to survive?
So is the Modi administration in support of data center construction?
Well, I think they are deeply techno-optimist So that means their desire is to continue to make India, I want to say, well-equipped when it comes to technology, not necessarily equitably supported in that journey. So the techno-optimistic side of this country, while it can do so much for its people, is not taking its people along. You can be techno-optimistic by seeking to enhance access for your people, but if you're creating technology at the cost of your people, it's just not going to serve anyone, is it?
Right. And my sense is that the opposition to data centers and the explosive growth in AI is kind of there's kind of two primary camps. One is saying, okay, AI is really good for some things. Let's regulate it. Let's make sure that it doesn't grow too fast and in the wrong directions. There's another camp, and I kind of see people like Jeff Hinson and others who have been very instrumental in the establishment of AI is saying, no, this is just bad. And to me, I don't know whether you've seen the movie The Matrix.
Of course, of
Okay.
course, yeah.
To me, that's where we're going if we keep this, if we keep on this track. I mean, and
Yeah.
especially as AI becomes more and more kind of self-motivating, and inclined to just want to do its own thing. I mean, how do you, at some point you can't control that. That's where I'm coming from. I get kind of impatient with the let's gonna we can regulate this. And you may be at that same perspective. I really don't know. So I'm just, throwing it out to you. What do you think of what's your take on what we should do about AI? Regulate or abolish? Not that we can put the genie back in the bottle completely, but what should we do?
Well, I think I am exactly where you are, Ed. There's a part of me that wishes that we could put the genie back in the bottle because we should have been asking the key question of should this technology exist at all before it came into being. But now it is here, and it's being sold to us as this absolutely inevitable reality that we cannot avoid. I want to say that it's unavoidable, but not inevitable, which means that we still have a chance to do right through some form of governance, and that governance is not going to arrive through law and policy. It's impossible for a one-size-fits-all law to determine such contextual realities of what AI can do. Now, if you take the EU AI Act, which tells you high risk, medium risk, and low risk AI should be treated according to the level of risk, you might think AI that's going to obviously cause, say, detrimental harm to a society with war should be banned. But what about a tool like ChatGPT that's encouraging a young person to die by suicide? I think that's high risk, but the EU AI Act will not see that. And so the challenge we're up against right now with governance is that we are not doing well enough. We assumed that law and policy got us far enough to regulate anything. We haven't been regulating ourselves well with law and policy. What's it going to do to a piece of technology that we cannot understand enough about? You know, there's this really powerful line from the Harry Potter series where Molly Weasley says to her daughter, Ginny Weasley, that you shouldn't be trusting something that you cannot determine is particularly clear about where it puts its mind. She's talking about the diary that Ginny Weasley writes into that's feeding back to her. It has a mind, but you don't know how it's thinking. I think that line applies so well to AI. It has something comparable to the mind. It's obviously not human intelligence. But we don't know how it's working. Why is it making a choice to use a particular word after? What's creating that probabilistic output? We don't know. That's the black box. And that's what's likely to run the world someday, and that's terrifying.
And run the world someday, and with human need kind of very secondary to what the machines themselves determine they need. I mean, it's almost hard to really grasp that this could be possible, but I again I point to the movie The Matrix, but well before that, maybe maybe you're familiar with 2001 Space Odyssey.
Of course,
Hal,
of
okay.
course.
I mean that's I what why someone please explain to me why that is not where this is heading. And I don't
I have every reason to agree with you, Ed. I think that it is heading that way. Just a couple of days back, I read and heard a TED talk. I read this online and then heard a TED talk where a young woman from India has found a way to actually write data into DNA. So
Run that by me
that
again.
means
Write data into DNA.
into DNA.
How does that
So that
work?
means,
Okay.
well, I don't know the science of it and I couldn't explain it well enough if I tried,
And even if you
but
did, I
it's
couldn't
actually a
understand
TED
it.
Talk.
It's a TED Talk, okay.
it's by an Indian woman. She's 24 and she's
Okay.
come out with this technology that she's been able to actually prove works, where she's able to write data into DNA. She talks about how people have been able to write fear into DNA. And the next step is to, I don't know what, turn you and me into data centers? That is scary, Ed.
Could you write concert pianist into DNA?
I would love that. I think you and I could maybe jam across the ocean.
Could you, what, I mean, could you write, you could write, I mean, really, is that what she's talking about? I mean, or is it?
Well, something like that. What I did see was how there could be 1,000 movies in 4K that could be coded into your DNA. That's the volume of information that could go in. And then, of course, after that, my brain shut down because it was just beyond anything I could comprehend.
Yeah, same.
But it's astounding. And when we're thinking of this as real, goodness knows what the future is going to look like, and that is terrifying.
So to
It
me,
makes me want to go back to when I was in fourth grade and watching cartoons and thinking that should be our future.
well, we're a few years apart in age, but I had the same experience in fourth grade. Different cartoons, probably. But the so I mean, this is a. It's hard to wrap one's mind around it because where the mind thinks you probably need to go with this is not any place we really want to go. It's not comfortable. And
It's not.
yeah, I guess we start with to me, even though I guess I see these two different camps in terms of, what level of opposition do we have to AI, I guess the camp that says let's regulate it is probably the only realistic thing we can do at this point is to come up with the strongest regulatory framework and hope that that puts the brakes on the worst possible scenarios.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And it's the saddest part because if this is the best we're able to do, we're still leaps behind. The technology is developing like that, and governance is at snail's pace. So it's still not good enough, but it's the best we can do, which is disheartening.
And here in the US, we've had states that have tried to come up with regulations relevant to AI, and the Trump administration has squashed those, and now it's supposed to be a federal effort. But even is even any federal effort, whether it's US or India or somewhere else, EU, doesn't this have to be a global effort?
It has to, primarily because the technology is crazy global. Something that's developed in your part of the world is now running lives in my part of the world. And that's dangerous. It's dangerous. I mean, it can be excellent if you really think about it. There's ways for how we can use these technologies to level the playing field. I could access education in the US without having to leave. So the challenges of a visa travel would be completely mitigated. But that's not what it's being used for, is it? We're seeing deep fakes, we're seeing violence, we're seeing mental health manipulations. And that needs to be regulated big time as a global concerted effort,
And we're
not one country at a
seeing
time.
lots of jobs being lost as well. I mean,
Of
I
course,
mean,
of
I assume
course.
that's the case in
Yeah.
India as well.
Absolutely,
Yeah.
absolutely. It's catastrophic because there's no amount of enough labor available or enough jobs available for a country that is so populous. And against that backdrop, when you're already losing jobs to AI, it's only dismal because we have a very large youth population that is struggling with unemployment. And so much of it is because of AI. There's also this other stream that's saying AI is going to create jobs, but those jobs are dangerous. Content labeling. I know young women in India are being forced to watch disturbing content in the name of data labeling and cleaning just to be able to train an AI tool. Those are not the kind of jobs we should be giving young people or anyone for that matter. Yeah.
No, there was an excellent book called Empire of AI. Is it Karen Ho? Is
Karen
it? Yeah,
Howe.
oh yeah.
Yeah.
About some of the abuse of employees in Kenya and Colombia and other places as well. So I mean, it's and I know that there are cool things we can do with AI. If I my wife and I run an urban farm. If I want to search, okay, what is causing this particular problem on this particular plant? You know, I mean, I don't use AI, but when I do a search for that information, I think AI actually is helping to pull up the answer, and I gotta admit, it's usually right on. It's usually right on. So that's helpful, but not essential. I can go the slower route and go through a more
Exactly.
traditional search. 30 years ago, I could go to the library and look this up. Again, it takes longer.
Exactly.
But to me, I think of AI and nuclear weapons in the same way. Well, I think we've gone beyond saying that there's any good use for a nuclear weapon. But back, this is before your time, back when nuclear weapons were first becoming common or in big production, there was talk about using them for, quote, peaceful purposes, like blowing up mountains in order to build a road, you know? That was considered a good purpose. I wish, like nuclear weapons, I wish AI had never been invented. It's here. We have to regulate it, and hopefully regulate it in a significant way, and hopefully do it cooperatively with other nations around the world. You know, we can't, not one
Absolutely.
country just can't do this on its own. So,
Absolutely. Yeah,
so
I agree 100%.
you again right now in this in our upcoming election in November, data centers and AI are a pretty prominent conversation. I don't know when your next election is in India.
2029.
2029. Gosh, you got.
Yeah, but 5-year terms.
Oh wow. Okay. And so,
Yeah.
is even for some of the parliamentary offices as well. It's not just for president. Not
Oh,
just.
yeah.
Wow.
Oh, no. It's all 2029, but state level elections will happen at different
Oh,
times.
okay. Yeah. And do you see data centers, AI coming up for, coming forth as issues in those campaigns?
I think there will be issues for sure, without doubt, but I think the more everyday challenges of employment, of safety on the streets, of the freedoms of mobility and expression, they will be significant to address. I'm not saying that India is automatically accepting of AI data centers, but I think that's one of the battles for survival and not the only one. So that's going to become a big issue as well, just the whole question of survival and what that looks like for different populations in different parts of the country.
Well, we could talk a lot more about this, Kirti. I really appreciate you taking the time to visit with us, and good luck with your work in India, which, I mean, sounds pretty broad. I know you do a lot of work for those who are affected by gender-based violence, and you're right. You make a you've done you've written a play as well, I believe.
Yes, I've written a play.
Very
That
cool.
was just out of nowhere. It just happened out of nowhere.
Very cool. Anyway, and I appreciate your work
Sorry.
for on the AI issue as well. Hey, again, talking today with Kirti Jayakumar.